Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. I am very pleased to have in our studio today Mr. Kadir Nelson, who is a prolific artist and who recently it was announced that he did the artwork for the Michael Jackson album that's coming out on December 12th. And before we get into the interview, I want to say that Kadir Nelson is my nephew, whom I'm very proud of. So just wanted to provide you with that one disclaimer. Kadir, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kadir, you've been painting since you were 2-3 years old. Tell our audience about how you got started in art and how you've developed over the years.
Well, I started drawing. My mother says I was about 3 years old. And it was something that I really liked. I think I showed an unusually strong interest in drawing. I just really loved to do it, and also got a lot of compliments from my brother and sisters and my parents, so they gave me more encouragement to continue. And also have an uncle who's an artist and an art teacher who took me under his wing at a very young age and basically gave me my foundation in art.
It's Michael Morris.
Right.
Known as Major Moore.
Major Moore, mm-hmm.
Very nice.
So he taught me how to, he gave me a really strong foundation and gave me plenty of art supplies to work with. And from that point on, I became very serious about doing my work. So I drew every day. I ended up getting a scholarship to study art at Pratt Institute. And I graduated, and from then I've been working ever since.
Now, prior to you attending Pratt, your artwork had been on displayed at different places in the West Coast where you were living in San Diego. You did a particular piece after the L.A. riots that was very, very prolific. What motivated you to capture the frustration of the moment in that Rodney King piece?
I think it was really fresh on everyone's mind. It was something new. It was just in the air, so I wanted to try and try something different. I used a different style, and I thought it was a good subject, a fitting subject for me to try to portray.
Now, we're going to get to the artwork that you did for the Michael Jackson album cover, but what motivates you to paint?
Well, I think I'm really inspired by things that that I might read or see or hear. It could be music, it could be something I've read, or I could pass, just see something that is striking that I may want to try to duplicate, whether it's the look of it or the feeling of it in my work. I think I'm motivated mostly just by the fact that I really love what I do, and I want to continue to do it and get better and become the best artist I can be.
Now, you've had the opportunity of working with Debbie Allen and Steven Spielberg. Can you share with the audience how that all came about and how you worked on the Amistad picture?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but the gist of it is that I was a really good student. I was a very diligent student, and that I did all my work. And because I was on top of my work, I was given an opportunity to intern at the Society of Illustrators in New York City. And as a result of doing that internship, it was only for a month, but I made friends with the people at the Society, so they gave me a ticket to one of their shows, and I went to the show and showed my new business cards around and gave it to a young lady there, and she called me a week or two later and told me she had a job that she felt I was very suited to, or my style was suited to. So she gave me the job, I did the job, and the guy was in a pinch who needed the job done, so he wanted to help me. He liked my work and he liked me, so he took a few of my portfolios and shipped them to another record company in Los Angeles, and the person at the record company saw it and knew about this film that was in the works at DreamWorks, which was a brand new production studio. And my work ended up in front of them. So that happened over the course of maybe four or five months or so. So by the time I graduated in 96, I had a really great opportunity. 2 weeks after I graduated, I got a call from DreamWorks, and they said they had this movie that they thought they would like me to try and help them convince Steven Spielberg to direct. And that's pretty much how I got started.
And if I remember correctly, they published your work into a book in regards to the
art from the film.
The art from the film, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The storyboards.
It's a companion book. They were more, they're like storyboards, but storyboards are more shot by shot. These are key scenes throughout the movie. Basically, what they wanted me and a number of other artists to do was to show Steven Spielberg what the movie could possibly look like, to feed his vision, and to convince him to take the movie on, because he was a bit apprehensive about taking on the movie, because he got a lot of flack for directing The Color Purple and not being an African-American handling such strong African-American content. So Amistad was along the same lines, and he wasn't sure he was the right one for it. And everyone, including especially Debbie Allen, knew that he was the right director for it. So we put all this work together and showed him three acts worth of artwork to show him what this film could look like. And as a result of it, he took on the movie.
And then shortly thereafter, I guess, you worked at DreamWorks for a bit.
About 6 months or so after that ended, I ended up, when I was on Amistad, I was a freelance. So I was there once a week. I'd go drop off my work and have a meeting and go home. And then they offered me a job on the animation side of DreamWorks on a movie called Spirit, where I was there pretty much every day working on the movie, working on the film. So I did that for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about your style, how would you describe your style? Or is there such a thing in art?
Well, I wouldn't put a label on my style, but I would say that my work is always, it's always figurative. It's very emotional, I would say. So I guess I would say that I have an emotional style.
And your art, you study the history. You paint about history quite a bit. And you do your homework. You have a book called We're the Ship, which mm-hmm. is the history of the Negro Leagues, mm-hmm. in which you're the author as well as the prolific artist in the book. Tell us about that journey for We Are the Ship.
Well, when I was in college, I got a commission to paint a scene from the Negro Leagues, and not really knowing much about it, I started doing a bit of research and came across the Ken Burns documentary, Baseball, which was on a PBS, and I think after reading or watching that documentary, I really became interested. It was so well done. I got hooked on subject, on the history of baseball, and specifically Negro League baseball. Ken Burns, Ken Burns had found Buck O'Neill, who was a former player and manager in Negro Leagues, and Buck was really like the heart and soul of that documentary. Whenever he would come on, it was like the screen would light up because of the charming way that he would tell the story. So I fell in love with Buck and the history of the Negro Leagues. And that one painting grew into three paintings and then into twice that many. And then over the period of maybe 12 years, I'd say about 46 or 47 paintings. And 41 of which were included in the book.
Wow, phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Kadir Nelson, the artist who has recently presented his album cover art for the Michael Jackson album, which is going to be released on December 12th. He is also the, December 14th. He is also the author of many children's books, as well as the author of the book We Are the Ship. So, Kadir, you are working on a book on American history. What can you, being that it's not published yet, what can you share with us about the book?
Well, the title is Heart and Soul, and it's an intimate telling of American history. And it's similar in format to We Are the Ship in that it's there are words and pictures on every page. It's about 100 pages or so of text and art.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be published by HarperCollins in, I believe, fall of 2011.
Mm-hmm. And what's next on your agenda?
Well, after that, I'll be working on a book on Nelson Mandela, picture book biography, which I'll be writing as well. And after that, I'd have to look at my calendar because I only think one or two books in advance.
Tell us about the evolution of how you came to have the opportunity to do the artwork for the Michael Jackson album.
Well, several years ago, I'd say maybe around 2000, I did a painting of Marvin Gaye, the two paintings of Marvin. One was a sitting portrait of Marvin, and the other was a mural that told his life, the story of his life. It was called The Life of Marvin Gaye. And those two paintings hang in Marvin's old recording studio in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. It's a private recording studio that utilized by sometimes by Michael Jackson, and Michael really fell in love with the mural that I'd done of Marvin. And you know, unbeknownst to me, he would often go to the studio and sit in front of it for hours, and wouldn't record any music. He just wanted to look at the artwork, and he would have the guy who's running the studio call me to see if I was there. And I wasn't home, and they didn't leave a message, so I didn't know they had called. And one afternoon I was home, and they told me, you know, Michael Jackson wants to talk to you. So Michael got on the phone and told me how much he liked the painting. And he told me, he said, well, I want one about me, and I want it to be bigger. I was excited to have the opportunity. But I think time kind of got away from us, and the project kind of fizzled away. And years later, unfortunately, Michael had left us, and Michael's manager called and said, well, I still want you to do the painting. So I put everything on hold and did the painting. And it took about 5 months of continuous painting, and then over, I think, about 6-7 months or so, I was constantly tinkering with it. So it was a monumental effort, more so than anything I'd ever done before. And it was always with a premise that it could potentially be used on the album cover of Michael's next album.
Awesome. Kadir, let's switch gears for a second. The arts in the school system, so important. What do you feel that you have learned as a person through your art?
Well, I think the goal is to, with each painting you do, is to try to do better than what you had done, the painting you had done prior to that. I think that with each painting you learn more about yourself, what you can do, what you like, what you want to achieve. I would paint things that I would paint the figures in my paintings would always be, they would always somehow show an inner strength, a spiritual strength, because that's what I wanted for myself. So I would paint that. someone asked me what I'm trying to achieve with my work, and I told them it's a search for truth, which is I think why I like history so much. It's trying to find out what really happened, and I think when I figure that out for myself, then I think that people who look at the work may be helped in some way to figure out what helped in some way to find their truth.
As a little boy, beginning your quest to art, do you feel that it helped to shape your and mold your character?
Well, it's how I identify. It's part of my identity is being an artist. And I think it's, in some ways, it's helped form, and I think and encourage my self-confidence by doing artwork that I liked and that other people liked. Of course, it made me feel good about myself, and I think it's a combination of that, of course, family, and sports, basketball primarily, because I learned, you know, through practice, that you can get better. And it's the same with painting.
That's true, because I remember when you first started playing basketball.
Yeah, I wasn't very good.
but you would always take your basketball, go out on the court, even
every
if
day.
You're by yourself every day.
Every day.
And then you develop a killer jump shot.
Right.
Yes, very much so. And what advice would you give to parents who has a child who is grade school and wants to be involved in art, but maybe the school doesn't offer the type of support or classes for art? What advice would you give those parents?
Well, I mean, if the kid really likes to draw, I don't know if I was, I don't think I was unique. I mean, I did show very strong interest in painting, but my, I also had, I mean, my mother, she would always give me plenty of paper, which is very important, because if you don't have any paper, you can't work. She always had very supportive words for my for what I was doing, and that gave me a lot of confidence, self-confidence. I mean, if it's possible to maybe if she could take, or father's mother or father could take their son or daughter to a school on Saturday, maybe an art school, just to expose them to different media, and just to give them a little bit more instruction. Because if I hadn't had that instruction from my uncle, I think I would have been stuck in one place. But he helped push me further, I think, further ahead than my peers. It's much of it was because of experience. I would be further ahead than my classmates because I'd done more, and I'd had a more formal instruction.
That was a big difference. And I think it's important to note that during the summers, when most folks were maybe out working a regular job that a 14-year-old would work, whatever it might be, in the retail store, or out playing basketball, which of course you did, but you were there steady at your easel with your artwork, working on your craft. And I think it's important for the young folks to understand that greatness doesn't happen overnight. You build on it. And I have to commend you for that, because you constantly stayed at that easel working on your craft.
I think it was because I liked it. I liked painting. I liked making things. I always did, you know. As a kid, we would, my brother and I, when we played, we had to create our the worlds that our toys would live in. And that was more fun to me than actually playing with the toys in that make-believe world. Like making their parachutes, taking a shoebox and turning it into a ship or a car or something like that. That was more fun to me.
Allow me to ask you a very unfair question. What is your best piece that you like the most of all your work?
I would say my my favorite painting is the one that I'm going to do next.
To be determined.
It always has to be the next one. It has to be your favorite piece. Because otherwise you don't, I don't think you do your best work.
You don't stretch yourself to your point. Mm-hmm. I've heard someone else say that in regards to
Duke Ellington.
Okay.
Someone asked him, that's where I got it from.
Okay.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I borrowed
actually,
that.
You did a book about, a children's book about Duke Ellington.
Right. That's how I know. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about how do you relax? I mean, you know, it seems to me that being an artist, it seems like it's very zenful, very relaxful, but maybe it's very stressful. I don't know. What do you do to relax?
Well, the way, yeah, it's very important to be relaxed before you start. So I just, I play Scrabble.
You play a little Scrabble.
I stall. Stalling is really the way for me to really kind of get in the zone to start painting. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit down and go for it because then your head isn't in the right place. So it's just really a matter of figuring out how to get there. And that's how I get there.
And tell us about your lovely family. You're married to Kira, and you have two daughters and a son. Tell us a little bit about your family.
That's right. I have a 14-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. And my wife and I have been married for about 14 years.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And when are you going to plan to have a show here on the East Coast?
Well, the art from We Are the Ship is traveling across the country until the end of 2012. And I'm sure that it will come somewhere on the East Coast. There's a number of Midwest venues. But when it comes to doing a gallery show, I'm not sure yet. I have to be able to produce the work. Now, most of the work I've been doing has been for, our books. I do plan to travel the artwork from Heart and Soul as soon as it's finished. I should be working on that now, setting that up now. So
okay.
It comes out when the book is published.
Very nice. Now, I've seen you do work on Frederick Douglass, Angela Davis, President Barack Obama. And I guess the sketchbook that you did. Are you going to do Nelson Mandela?
My next book is on Nelson Mandela.
I didn't know that. No, I did not know that.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, okay, yeah. After I finish Heart and Soul, I'm writing I've actually written a text for Nelson Mandela. So I plan to go to South Africa and see it for myself, and if I'm lucky, I'll get to meet Mr. Mandela while I'm there. So we'll see how that goes.
Years ago, I remember there was a rally in the Coliseum in Los Angeles when Nelson Mandela was freed, and we were both there. I was on one side of the stadium, and you were there with your mother on the other side of the stadium, and you had done a portrait of him. I don't know if it was a sketch.
It was a drawing. We made silk screen prints of it.
Yeah. Do you still have that?
I might have one or two of them.
One or two of them. And what is your motivation outside of the obvious? I mean, Nelson Mandela is such a large, important figure of our time. What are your personal motivations for making him one of your next subjects?
I think he has a great story. It always starts with a story. The book Heart and Soul is told as if it is the story, not a history, but it's the story of America. And Nelson Mandela, he'd gone through a number of hardships and fought for what he believed was right. And he was triumphant in the end. And it's a really great story. So I think that kids and parents both will be inspired to learn more about his story and how it relates to them.
You know, you do tell a very, very nice story in your books. And I didn't realize you had such writing talent after reading We Are the Ship. So I'm really looking forward to your next one.
Oh, thank you. I have a really good editor. she keeps me in line and has really great ideas to help bring out my best. You know, I didn't plan to be a writer. I still don't really consider myself a writer. I'm more of an author out of necessity. And I give it my best. You know, when in school, I had a really good teacher who taught me how to write an essay. I think I built on that skill of writing an essay and essay, and then took that and made it into a creative telling of the Negro Leagues and now the American story.
And tell us about the gold medal that you received for the Olympics. I believe you had a painting that was...
an actual medal. It was a certificate.
Certificate, yes, yes.
And I think it was a bronze. I think they gave me the
bronze.
Okay. I should know that. But it was a certificate, so it wasn't actual hardware that I could hold and look at. But I'd done a painting of the American... handball team handball, and it ended up, the Sports Academy chose it as their entry for the Olympics, and the Olympic sport contest.
Right, and that was for which Olympics? Was that for the Korea Olympics or the China
or
Beijing?
It was China, mm-hmm. But they had this ceremony in Korea,
right.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go. Mm-hmm. It was a schedule conflict between going to the White House or to Korea. So I chose to go to the White House.
And tell us about the White House experience. Is that an annual event that they have where they invite authors and artists like yourself?
It's the National Book Festival, and it was started by the First Lady, Laura Bush, who was a librarian. So she had a love for books and reading. So she started this festival, and it started out very small, and then it grew into this really big thing. And they would invite for 8 years, I believe. They would invite artists and illustrators and authors to the White House and Library of Congress for a really big fancy affair. And then you'd go out to the on the mall and sign tons and tons of books.
Right. Now, going to Washington, D.C., you're no stranger to that because you were actually commissioned to do a portrait of Shirley Chisholm, correct?
Right, right. I was really fortunate to be on the short list to... to paint a portrait of Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I was chosen to paint it. So now it hangs in the House of Representatives.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, Kadir, we are out of time. I want to thank you for coming into our studio while you're here in New York to talk about your career, and also congratulations on the artwork for the album cover of Michael Jackson's artwork. We want to wish you all the best.
Thanks. Thanks again for having me.
This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. And for my friends abroad, streaming on the net at WSOU.net, remember, leadership begins with you.